This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
We are in week three of our series called Stand. And we've been looking at what it means to stand in a world that is in opposition to God. You know, to stand, as we saw in week three, to stand requires, or week one, excuse me, in conviction and courage. To stand requires conviction and courage. It also means standing when it's uncomfortable and everything around you is falling. Each of these things are not an unconscious decision. These are stands that are determined long before the need arises. So as we continue this morning, have you ever noticed that life doesn't stop testing you or your faith just because you have been faithful in the past? Now, how many times have you thought to yourself, this again? I know I have. You know, there have been times when I've asked God, I'm like, really? Really, God? Come on now. I like the one and done lessons, you know what I mean? You know, you learn your lesson the first time and you're good to go and we don't have to talk about it again. We checked it off the list and we move on. But of course, you and I both know that is not the way life works. Seasons come and go, amen? Situations rise and fall. And we find that our walk with God isn't about one moment of courage. It's not one moment of making a stand. It's about a lifetime of consistency. Now, Daniel had proven himself several times, and we've seen that the last couple of weeks in our series. He remained faithful when things around him were going crazy, when they were in chaos. He remained faithful when he had to tell the king hard truths. Now, at the time, he was a young man with a lifetime ahead of him. But now, as we move forward and we look today in Daniel chapter 6, we find a moment where he's having to stand yet again. Now, I'd imagine before we started this series, if I had mentioned the name Daniel, most of us probably would have immediately gone to the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? That's kind of the popular story through this book. A young man, you know, we have this picture of a young man bravely trusting God to protect him. But as we are going to see, this story comes much later in Daniel's life. In fact, in Daniel chapter 6, he is around 80 years old. Now, he's spent several decades serving in a foreign land under multiple kings across two empires. He lived through the Babylon's rise and fall. He's seen Nebuchadnezzar's pride and repentance. He's seen Belshazzar's downfall the night Babylon collapsed. And now, under the Medo-Persian Empire, he's serving under a new ruler, King Darius. Now, if I had seen all that Daniel had seen and been through all that Daniel had been through, at 80 years old, I'm thinking that I would be eyeing retirement. You know what I mean? I've put in my time. I've been faithful. I deserve it. Let me go live my quiet life with the view of the mountains and be happy. However, we find that Daniel is still serving. Now, hear that. That's an interesting thought. At 80 years old, he's still serving. So if you're retired, you are out of the will of God. I'm kidding, not really. Enjoy your retirement. I'm just teasing. But I love this. I mean, at 80 years old, he's still serving. And he is leading with the same conviction and faithfulness as he always has. His integrity and excellence set him apart. And King Darius, who he's now under, recognizes it. In fact, Daniel's reputation is so strong that Darius plans to set him over the entire kingdom. So let's look at it, verses 1 through 3 in Daniel chapter 6. It said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. And over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was on him, or was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, this was one of Darius's first orders of business. Daniel's long experience and wide acquaintances within the Babylonian government, combined with his superhuman knowledge and skill, made him a likely choice for this new position. But it wasn't just that. His character had proven itself over time. His faithfulness had proven itself over the generations. But we'll find that with promotion, we often find opposition. The other administrators couldn't stand that Daniel, an exile, a foreigner, was about to be placed in a position over them. They were jealous, threatened, bitter even. So they do what any good jealous person would do, and they try to dig up dirt. Verse 4, the first part of it says, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. Now truly, they didn't care about the kingdom. They were just looking out for themselves. And they sure didn't want someone they viewed as inferior because, you know, Jewish people at this time were often viewed in this manner. They didn't want someone like Daniel to be ruling over them. But there's a little hitch in their search for dirt. The second part of verse 4, it says, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Now, at 80 years old, this is an incredible statement. In a world full of compromise, Daniel's life was clean. In that moment, they knew the only way to get at Daniel was to attack him through his faith. So they get to scheming. They come up with a plan and manipulate the king into signing a decree that no one can pray to any god or any man except to King Darius for 30 days. They know Daniel's not going to compromise on this. They know he's not going to compromise on his devotion to God. So Daniel has to make a choice. Will he cave to pressure or will he stand strong? Now, we may not be facing literal lion's den, but we live in a world that still pressures us to bow. Maybe your lion's den looks like the workplace where our faith makes you stand out. Maybe it's a school setting where standing for biblical values makes you unpopular. Maybe it's a culture thing that says you can believe in God, but just don't talk about him too much. The challenge today isn't always physical persecution, but it's spiritual pressure. Pressure to stay silent, pressure to blend in, pressure to compromise just a little so life gets easier. And in those moments, we face the same choice as Daniel. Will we bow to pressure or will we stand strong? Daniel's story teaches us that you can't always control your circumstances, but you can control your stand. So how did Daniel stand strong in a world determined to silence his faith? The first thing that we can see is that he stand strong in character. Now, character isn't built in a day, right? It's something that is built over a lifetime, built over moments. It's something that stands the test of time. Long before this moment ever came, Daniel was faithful. The building blocks of his life were built on the foundation of his character. As mentioned before, by the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, he had served two rulers. Now he's on his third. We had Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and now Darius. Each of those kings ruled with their own agendas and beliefs. But Daniel never compromised his identity or his integrity. And I love the fact that when the other administrators tried to find a fault in him, I love that verse, put that verse 4 back up there. It says, they could find no ground for complaint. I love that. The New Living Translation puts it like this. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. The Amplified Version says, he was faithful, a man of high moral character and personal integrity, and no negligence or corruption of any kind was found in him. The new NIV says they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. This verse tells us two things about Daniel's character. Obviously, he was trustworthy, meaning his word meant something. You know, back in the day, you know, when you made a commitment to someone, that meant something. If you shook hands on it, you know, it was good as done. That's being trustworthy. But he was also not corrupt or negligent, meaning that he didn't cut corners or take shortcuts. If Daniel was doing something, you can guarantee it's not just going to be done, but it's going to be done right. That's a man of high character. That's a man of integrity. And it didn't matter who was looking on or peering into his life. Daniel knew they wouldn't find anything because he was the same no matter who was watching. That's exactly what character is. Character is who you are when no one's watching. Daniel lived in a pagan culture, a culture much like ours today. Anything went, anything goes. I almost wonder if it was like it was described in the book of Judges where it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I don't know. But what I do know is he was surrounded by corruption, surrounded by opposition, surrounded by idolatry. You know, leading up to the reign of Darius, they believed in a mosaic of faith. You know, any god went, multiple gods went. And now this empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, not only did they serve multiple gods, did they believe in idolatry, but they also worshipped the king himself. The people around Daniel were also known to be immoral and corrupt. So suffice it to say that it wasn't an environment that led to high standards of morality. Yet through it all, he remained faithful. He didn't change depending on who was in charge or what was popular. As already stated, he was the same in private as he was in public. That may be a word for somebody here today. It's easy to be one person at church, another at work, and another at home. But godly character isn't dependent on our surroundings. You are who you are, no matter who is or isn't watching you. In Proverbs, we see the contrast of what happens when we live with character versus someone who doesn't. Proverbs 11:3 tells us, the integrity, you can also insert character right there, of the upright guides them. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. This integrity, this character shaped all of Daniel's decisions. It shaped his attitude, his work ethic. He didn't serve to impress people. He served faithfully because of the one that he represented. Colossians 3:23 tells us, whatever you do, work with that. Excuse me, I can't read apparently. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. As working for the Lord, not human masters. You know, that's something, you know, especially if you're a people pleaser and, you know, you want people to like you and things like that, that's something that is hard to grasp sometimes. You know, we do everything, we do it, you know, just the way certain people want it, just because you want that person to like you. But here, listen, everything you do as a believer in Christ, everything you do as a follower of Jesus should be as if working for the Lord. That includes in the church, in your family, in your workplace, wherever you go, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. That's having character. Character is also built in private before it's tested in public. Daniel wasn't facing something he hadn't prepared for. The character developed in him came long before this public moment. I've heard it said many times throughout the years, when pressure comes, we don't rise to the occasion, we fall to the level of our preparation. Now, when you go into any type of training, you know, for instance, if you were in the military or you're a firefighter, EMS, police officer, medical school, anything like that, cybersecurity school, so on. When you go into these fields, you go through training after training. You do field exercises multiple times. You run drills. You act as though it's the real thing. But why do they do that? Why do you do that? Because when the real thing comes, it is second nature. When the pressure is on, they know exactly what to do. They don't have to think about it in a high-stress situation. They know exactly what to do in the right time for the right thing. That's just like our character when we build it over time. When tests come and tests go and we build on those blocks of character, when the pressure comes, we know exactly what to do. That was Daniel, and it should be you and me. All of the little things we do in the background, all of the things that God works on us in our private time, all of it works to build the foundation of character needed to withstand public testing. Daniel was faithful. So when the big test came, he stood strong. That's exactly how character works in our lives too. The small daily choices. Telling the truth when it's easier to lie. Staying honest when no one is looking. Doing the right thing when nobody's applauding. Those moments build the foundation for standing strong later. But another thing about character is a character doesn't change with culture. Now, come on. I know culture would like to tell us it does. Again, Daniel had been through two other kings at this point, and now he's under a third. Different cultures impacted his surroundings. He didn't let culture define his values, though. He let God's word define them. This is similar to what Paul says in Romans. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." The world and culture will tell you that this or that are acceptable. But I'm here to tell you today, culture doesn't get to dictate what is right and what is wrong. Our standard is the Word of God. This is what determines what is right and what is wrong. Daniel didn't conform to Babylon or to the Persians. He stayed anchored in God's truth. And that's what it means to stand strong in character, to stay true to God when the world shifts around you. Because if your convictions can be changed by pressure, they're not convictions, they're preferences. If your convictions can be changed by pressure, they're not convictions, they're preferences. In your job, there might be pressure to exaggerate or bend the truth to make numbers look better. In your relationships, there might be pressure to lower your standards to keep someone's approval. In your faith, there might be pressure to tone it down just a little bit, just so you don't offend anyone. But when we choose character over compromise, when we choose faithfulness over convenience, when we choose obedience over approval, that's when we stand strong. God is still looking for Daniels. Men and women who will stay faithful even when no one's watching. He's looking for people who won't sell their character for popularity, comfort, or convenience. That's what it looks like to live in character, a life of character. But let's continue our story this morning. Daniel chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, it says, "Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King,'" you know, they really like to butter him up, right? Isn't that how it works, you know, when you're trying to get, you know, him to do something? "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." They really buttered it up. So verse 9, "Therefore King Darius signed the document and injunction. And when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." See, not only do we stand strong in character, but Daniel gives us another look into how it means to stand strong, and that's to stand strong in prayer. Now, you know I've talked a lot about prayer in our time here already. I did a whole series on it, in fact. So I believe in the power of prayer. Now, this law had been made. It was signed, it was sealed, it was delivered. No one can pray to any god or man except to King Darius. Now, this is one of those catch-22 moments. The law says, but God says, what are you going to do? Do you obey the land that is in opposition to God? Or do you trust the Lord and continue on? What I love about Daniel that we see here is that he didn't panic when this law was made, when this decree was signed, when it was done. He didn't run and hide just so he could pray. He didn't run to social media and make a post about it. Of course, they didn't have that then. But his first response wasn't any of these things. His first response, it says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows and upper chamber. He got down on his knees and prayed. He simply went home, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and prayed. Just like he always had. I love those last 5 words of that verse says it all. As he had done previously. That tells us a lot about Daniel. Amen? The first, you know, you'll notice that Daniel's prayer was consistent. Daniel didn't start praying because of the crisis, because the law said he couldn't. He wasn't like, oh yeah, watch me. You know, have you ever been told not to do something and you're like, oh yeah? Don't push that big red button. Watch me. No. He kept praying in spite of it, right? This was nothing new for Daniel. That's why the other leaders knew that this would get him. He had a pattern of prayer. That's why he didn't have to think twice when the decree was signed. Prayer wasn't something Daniel did to get out of trouble. Prayer was something that he understood was important to his relationship with the Lord. You know, there are times that I wonder if a law like this was made in America, in the United States, how much would it actually affect our churches and people? Are we truly praying because we understand the value of it to our relationship with the Lord? The value of it when seeking direction and wisdom or strength? Or are we just going to God when we are in crisis? Honestly, this morning, I could raise my hand because there are times early in my walk with the Lord that I had been just as guilty as this, just like the children of Israel. When things were fine, my prayer life was lacking. But when crisis came, when opposition came, I cried out to God to deliver me. But listen, we vastly underestimate the power of prayer. I know you have noticed, and I've already mentioned it already, but the one thing I want Restoration Church to be and to be known for is that we are a people of prayer. That's why we have First Wednesday. That's why you hear us encouraging prayer throughout our services and times together. It's more than just that thing we do. Our consistent prayer builds a foundation upon which we can stand. When you've been talking with God daily, it's easier to trust Him when things get difficult. You know, we already looked at Romans 12 once, but later in that chapter it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. He was encouraging the Romans to keep going, to not let the world affect them. Because if you remember back in verse 2, it said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And he says, rejoice in hope. Be patient when the things come, when the trials come, when the opposition comes, in tribulation, but be constant in prayer. Over in Philippians 4, verse 6, he again encourages, he says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you think there's something about this prayer thing? And these are only two examples elsewhere in Scripture. There's many more. Daniel's prayer was consistent, but it was also courageous. Very quickly, Daniel knew what the decree meant. Daniel knew that if he was caught praying, if anyone was caught praying, they would have to face the consequences of their actions. Yet again, that didn't stop him. Why? Because his allegiance to God mattered more than his safety. He could have easily just prayed under his breath, right? Or he could have found a hidden place out of the way to pray. Or even could have said, well, God knows my heart. And just refrain from praying for 30 days. But as you know, that's what the opposition wanted him to do. Or they knew he would get caught. This is the exact opposite of what Daniel did, right? Daniel's faith wasn't silent. His relationship with God wasn't something that he hid to make others comfortable. He was bold and courageous. The apostles of the early church found themselves in a similar situation. They were proclaiming Jesus' resurrection, the gospel, to everyone who would hear. And they were seeing signs and wonders and miracles. Many were being added to the church daily. But just like the religious leaders were with Jesus, they had now turned their attention to the apostles who were carrying on Jesus' work. And the scripture says that the Sadducees were filled with jealousy toward the apostles. So they have the apostles arrested. Just like we're going to see with Daniel in just a few moments. But the fear of being arrested didn't stop the apostles. In fact, Peter says in verse 19 of Acts chapter 5, or verse 29, excuse me, not 19. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Then they call him out. God exalted him into his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This was another instance when the leaders of the day were trying to silence what God was doing, were trying to silence what the apostles were spreading, the gospel. And they said, we obey God, not man. Just like Daniel, God trumped society. Daniel's courage in prayer reminds us that fear and faith can't sit on the same throne. He chose faith. He understood something that we must remember. If you kneel before God, you can stand before anyone. If you kneel before God, you can stand before anyone. Standing strong in prayer means refusing to let pressure or fear silence your conversation with God. When you're overwhelmed, pray. When you're afraid, pray. When you're misunderstood, pray. When you don't see results, pray anyway. Don't wait until you're in a moment of crisis to start talking to God. Make prayer your rhythm before the test comes. Prayer is where we fight our battles, church. But here's the thing, though. We can do everything right and still end up in the middle of a trial. For Daniel, it led him to the lion's den. Yet even there, surrounded by danger, Daniel's peace didn't waver. Because his trust wasn't in outcomes, it was in God. See, the last thing I want you to see is that we stand strong and we trust God with the results. Daniel's obedience led him straight into the lion's den. Let that sink in for just a moment. He did everything right. He prayed faithfully. He lived a life of character. He served the kingdoms that he served well. And he honored God. And still ended up in a pit surrounded by lions. Think about that. Sometimes we assume that obedience should protect us from hardship. But Daniel's story reminds us faithfulness doesn't always prevent the trial. We actually talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Just because we've given our life to the Lord doesn't mean our lives are going to be happy, go lucky, and peachy, and we're never going to have another problem in life. I wish it worked that way. I really do. But everything doesn't magically become perfect forever and ever once we give our life to the Lord. Because the fact is, we still live in a fallen world. Because of the fact that sin entered the world, we now have to face that reality. Daniel was not exempt from this, just like you or I are not. What we don't see in this story, though, is the grand scheme that he may have tried to get out of custody, because he didn't. The Bible doesn't tell us that he didn't fight and claw to try to break free. He didn't run to the king and whom he had served now and to beg for mercy. Because he knew that once a decree like this was made, there was nothing even the king could do to stop it. But God. Let's read on. Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you.' And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel." You see, here's the hard truth about trust, is that trusting means letting go of control. Ooh, I know some of y'all didn't like what I just said. I know it's a hard one. If you're like me, I'm a little bit of a control freak. That's why I absolutely loathe snow skiing. I never could get control. You know, I went through the ski school, you know how they teach you to do the snow plow, you know, to slow down and all that kind of thing. Never worked for me, not once. I'd be going down the hill like this and I'm still picking up speed and I'm like, oh. So eventually, you know, as the fence is coming up toward me, I have to kind of do one of these things, you know, and just fall over, call it good. But because of that, Never again have I tried. Never again. Because I can't control. I like a little bit of control. I'll admit it. But once Daniel was in that den, he had no control. Physically speaking, there's no way that he could fight the lions. I mean, he could try. But realistically, human strength is no match for a lion. He couldn't climb out. He couldn't reason with Darius. All he could do was trust. Sometimes God will allow us to be placed in situations where only he can deliver us. Not to destroy our faith, not to tear us down, but to deepen it. Because if you remember, our character is proven in the testing. That's why Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust means surrendering the how and focusing on the who. It means saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know who you are. In you I place my trust. And when Daniel trusted God, God took care of what Daniel couldn't. Let's read on. Verse 18 tells us in Daniel 6. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out with a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually," that's the second time we see that in this passage, "serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Woo! The God who shut the mouths of the lions can show up just like this in your testing. Trust. Stay faithful. Don't try to hang on to control. I promise you, the Lord knows what he is doing. Not only does it mean letting go of control, though, trust means believing that God is working even when you can't see it. Y'all probably know the popular song, you know, this is how I fight my battles. You know, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You know that whole song? That's what that whole song is talking about. Even if you can't see it, he's working. It would have been awesome if the second Daniel was thrown into the den that God would just miraculously have brought him out, you know, just set him out outside the den, even though it was still sealed. That would have been kind of cool, right? But Daniel still had to spend the night with lions. Can you imagine that? Lion behind you and just breathing on you? He still had to stare in the face of something that could take his life. If you looked at the physical situation, you would probably determined that life was over. You know, that's it. I'm done. It's over. I'm coming home to Jesus. Jesus, I'm coming home. But even when Daniel couldn't see it, when the king couldn't see it, when the guards couldn't see it, God was working on the behalf of Daniel. Now, we don't know exactly what happened to the lions, how he shut their mouths. All we know is that they were shut. If you remember a few weeks back, we talked about situations just like this and how the fact that in Romans 8:28, it tells us, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." Now, does that mean that all things are going to be good? No. But all things can work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I'm not sure who needs this reminder this morning, but God has not forgotten you. God is still working in your situation. He is fighting battles that you cannot see. All you need to do is trust the Lord and remain faithful. But like Daniel in the den surrounded by lions, or be like Daniel in the den, excuse me, and know that no matter what the outcome is, God is still God. You are still his child. You are loved and cared for. Even when you can't see what God is doing, he is still working for you, for your good, and for his glory. But trust also means giving God the glory, no matter the outcome. Now, Daniel's deliverance was pretty dramatic, but his trust wasn't dependent on his deliverance. He would have trusted God even if the lions had devoured him. And because of his faith, God turned his trial into a testimony. You know, so many times we think we know the outcome or what the outcome should be, but there's other times that God says, no, this is the outcome that needs to happen. It doesn't matter the outcome. All that matters is that God gets the glory. Amen? Even if the outcome had been different for Daniel, he would have went praising the Lord. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, listen to this testimony of Daniel's deliverance. And after it, King Darius issues a decree to the entire empire. It says, I make a decree. So we went from one decree to another, that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. This is a beautiful declaration of the goodness and the greatness of God that began with a faithful man trusting in the living God. That's what happens when you trust God with the results. He writes a bigger story than you can imagine. Daniel's story reminds us that standing strong isn't about being fearless. It's about being faithful. He stood strong in character when others were corrupt. He stood strong in prayer when others stayed silent. He stood strong and trusted God when he couldn't see the outcome. And through it all, God proved himself faithful. Amen. As we bring this to a close this morning, you may not be facing a literal lion's den today. I don't have a lion's den set up outside ready for an illustrated sermon. So if you're 80 years and older, then you can just breathe a sigh of relief because I'm not going to take you there. You may not be facing a literal lion's den today, but you might be facing fear, pressure, temptation, uncertainty. You might feel like you're in a den of your own, surrounded by things that want to devour your peace and your joy or your faith. But the same God that stood with Daniel stands with you. He still shuts the mouths of lions. He still rescues, still delivers, he still restores. So today, the call is simple. Stand strong. Stand strong in the Lord. God is with you. But there comes a time in moments like this where we have to make a decision. Will I bow to pressure or will I stand? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Just real quickly. Maybe today you realize that you've been standing on your own strength. But I want to encourage you today that the only strength that you need is found in Jesus. He is a sure foundation. In him, you don't have to fight for peace. He is your peace. In him, you don't have to fight for change. He is the God of transformation. You don't have to fight to break free of chains or bondages or things like that, because he is our deliverer. You don't have to claw and scratch and try to keep your head above water. Jesus is Lord. And if you're in this place today and you've never surrendered your life to him, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is your moment. This is the moment to say that, Jesus, you are the foundation that I need. So if you're in this place and that's you and you say, I need the foundation that is Jesus, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Second call is this. You're a believer, but lately the pressure has been heavy. You've been tempted to compromise or to stay quiet or to give up. But God is calling you to stand strong again, to trust him with what you can't control, and to let him give you fresh courage. If that's you today, and you're saying, I need the strength of the Lord to stand strong. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Is there anyone else? He is able. He is with you. He is for you. Amen. Bring your burden, your situation, your heart, and let God meet you in this place right now. Help him, or run to him and let him help you stand strong, stand with you, stand for you. So would you just stand all across this room this morning, and I want us just to pray. And if you raised your hand this morning, I want you just to lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning and say, Lord, I need you to help me stand strong. So with hands lifted and hearts open, Lord, we just say, have your way. Lord, as opposition has come, as different temptations have arisen, Lord, I've been tempted. But Lord, I just declare today that I am yours and you are mine. And Lord, I just ask for your strength to stand, for your strength to stay strong when opposition comes, your strength to remain a person of character, your strength to trust, your strength to hit my knees and pray when there's nothing else I can do. Lord, help us to trust. Help us to stand strong in a world that would have us to bow. And Lord, we realize and we acknowledge that this is not a time for us to shrink back. This is not a time for us to say, anything goes. But Lord, this is a time to declare the truth of the Word of God, to declare that Jesus, you are Lord, to declare that Jesus is the hope of the world, to declare that Jesus is the reason that we gather together, that Jesus is Lord and King of our life. Lord, help us to boldly stand, even when others won't. Help us as Restoration Church to be a people known to stand on the Word of God when others compromise. Jesus, Let your glory be seen in our city through us as we stand. To you be the praise and the honor. To you be the glory and power and strength. To you we declare the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name. Worthy is the name of all names. Worthy is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Worthy is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, God. To you be the glory as we stand. And it's in your mighty name, the name that is above every name, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah.